Consider this. Reality is a cliche from which we escape by metaphor. Whoa, did your mind explode too? The line is from the poet Wallace Stevens, and it's the quote that opens a new book called I Is an Other, The Secret Life of Metaphor and How It Shapes the Way We See the World. The author, James Geary, is obsessed with metaphor, and not mainly as a literary device, but how we all use metaphor every day in conversation and how it actually defines the ways we think. James Geary, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much.
So the title of your book is I Is an Other, which is a phrase that was new to me, which proves I'm not familiar enough with my French symbolist poets. Explain the title and what it says about metaphor.
Well, I Is an Other is a quote from Arthur Rimbaud, a 19th century French poet. And he was a strong believer in metaphor as the ultimate vehicle for poetry. I use it as a sort of equation for what metaphor is, because metaphor equates one thing with another thing. And by equating it with that, it's a sort of paradox of metaphor. We describe what something is by equating it with something that it's not.
And what your book makes clear is that our conversation in a daily basis is rife with metaphor. We're like the character Molière who said, I didn't realize I've been speaking in prose all these years. But if you say, I feel blue or I'm blue, you're engaging in metaphor. If you say she's hot or if you say it's raining cats and dogs or any number of things that we all say, we are addicted to metaphor without knowing.
That's right. There's whenever we talk about anything abstract or conceptual, or we try to get across an idea or express our emotions, we inevitably and instinctively use metaphors. Because when we're describing these things that are sort of immaterial, we cannot describe them directly. We have to describe them indirectly. And often the metaphorical description is much more vivid than a sort of bland, much more literal description.
So instead of describing something abstract like the economy, we don't say certain metrics indicate that sales are greater and unemployment is higher. We say the economy is booming or the economy is cratering, both of which are metaphors.
Exactly. And in fact, you know, economics is the ultimate numbers game, but it is just saturated with metaphors. And in fact, I use the word saturated. Most of the metaphors we use for the economy are related to liquid, fluid dynamics.
Yes.
We talk about revenue streams. We talk about being solvent and liquidity. And that conveys the function of money in a much clearer and more vivid way than trying to describe it abstractly. But the downside, which is another metaphor, sorry about that, but the side effect of that is that the metaphors that we use, they're psychoactive. They have profound and very subtle psychological effects.
Does that mean we get high on metaphor?
I do, but I think I might be extreme in that regard. What I mean is, if we stick with the economics example, if you think back to the subprime mortgage crisis when house prices were described as soaring, climbing, leaping, and there's some fascinating studies been done that people have been exposed to this kind of financial commentary, and those people had much higher expectations that those trends would continue in the future. Why? Because these metaphors trigger unconscious associations with living things, things that can literally climb and literally soar. This is not to say, you know, that metaphors caused the subprime mortgage crisis, but when metaphors like that become pervasive, they do create a sort of psychological frame through which people start viewing that issue. You know, sometimes that's okay, but sometimes it's not okay, and we need to be aware of it.
One of the things that your book reminded me of, a sort of pet peeve of mine, the ubiquity of people misusing the word literally. Oh, I was literally dying in there. Or, you know, all these absolutely non-literal things, which increases this confusion that you're talking about between the metaphorical and the real.
Yes. Again, it's metaphors just kind of filled with these weird paradoxes. You know, people use the word literally metaphorically, and it's really bizarre.
Whoa.
But it goes to show
you're blowing my mind, James.
It goes to show you, though, just how, you know, like you said, ubiquitous and pervasive metaphor is.
Yeah.
And what I find really interesting is even literal statements, and I mean literal in the literal, not the metaphorical sense, even factual statements are metaphors. A famous line from John Donne, no man is an island.
Yeah.
So if someone says that to you, you think, yeah, of course no man is an island. You know, no man is a rock either or a tree. But that's a factual statement, but we immediately understand its metaphorical significance as well.
Right. The book also made me realize, you know, people think, oh, metaphor is what artists and writers do. But in fact, when there's a high density of metaphor in a given piece of writing, I more often than not, I realize, think it's bad writing.
That's right.
Which is kind of counterintuitive.
That's right.
You know, if you say Raining Cats and Dogs or Get Under My Skin or all those things in a sequence, you go, you know, think of a fresh way to say something, dude.
That's exactly right. First of all, you should the cliches were once not cliches.
Yes.
So
the first time somebody said it's raining cats and dogs, that was amazing.
That was totally amazing. Think of a phrase like the Iron Curtain.
Right.
You know, when Churchill first said that, it was an incredibly powerful metaphor.
Yeah.
And cliches become cliches because in the beginning they were so damn good. It's sort of like a pop song. You just hear it every day, five times a day, and, you know, after a while you start hating it. But that's another paradox of metaphor. The more successful a metaphor becomes, in other words, the more cliché it becomes, the more we mistake it for literal truth.
Yeah.
So, for example, when I say, Kurt, I see what you mean, the verb see is a metaphor because, you know, I don't. When I'm listening to you, I don't see anything, and right now I can't even see you or on the radio. But why does every language around the world have the same metaphor? I see what you mean. Seeing equals knowing. Well, it has to do with the way our bodies are. We take in most of our information through our eyes. So as we kind of evolve to start, you know, in the beginning, we're just dealing with sort of physical, factual, visual information. But as we started evolving and started getting into abstract intellectual information, we carried over the verb for seeing to represent knowing, which is metaphorically seeing and understanding.
It seems what you're saying, one of the things you're saying, and I agree with you if you are, is that we should simply not be so unthinking about seeing the difference between metaphor and a hard fact. And whether in our speaking, in our writing, and inevitably in our thinking, that kind of blurring of those lines can actually be a little dangerous.
Mm-hmm. I agree totally. And George Orwell wrote a wonderful essay, Why I Write, and in it he talks about metaphor and the appropriate use of metaphor. And he decries the use of cliché, like you were saying earlier, like things like Iron Fist and the dustbin of history, because it's lazy. If you use clichés, it sort of absolves you of the need to think and write for yourself.
Yes.
So what he urges is that we create our own metaphors and create it afresh. And because that, it's through that kind of fresh thinking that we really engage. And through that, we can think critically and speak critically and write critically.
Well, one of the ubiquitous business metaphors of the last 30 years, let's think outside the box, has become almost the very emblem of not thinking outside the box because it's such a tiresome cliche.
Yeah. I mean, you hear a phrase like that and you just want to throw up. So,
yeah.
But again, it's the sort of perverse power of metaphor. The wrong metaphor is such a turnoff that it immediately shuts a person down. But the right metaphor really can spark things off.
James Geary, thank you very much.
Thank you.
James Geary's book is called I Is an Other, The Secret Life of Metaphor and How It Shapes the Way We See the World.
Hiding in my room, safe within my womb, I touch no one and no one touches me.